never felt the peace inside that I was looking for until I walked the road to Calvary. Kneeling there, I realized there was so much more than this old world could ever hold for me. I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. More than just a feeling or a dream. A land beyond the stars is calling me. When the Savior comes for me, I'll go. To live forever, finally at home.
My mind cannot imagine what these eyes will behold. When I reach that land of brilliant light,
captured in the moment that I've waited for so long, I will gaze in wonder and delight.
But now I'll keep on traveling this road that leads me home, and soon I'll take my heavenly flight.
I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. More than just a feeling or a dream. A land beyond the stars is calling me. When the Savior comes for me, I'll go. Live forever, finally at home. I'm only passing through on my way home. Heaven is the place where I belong. More than just a feeling or a dream. A land beyond the stars is calling me. When the Savior comes for me, I'll go. To live forever, finally at home. I'm only passing through on my way home.
Good music this morning. That was wonderful. That's one reason why you need to come to church. No matter what is going on, no matter what you're going through, and there are some of you going through deep valleys here this morning, and others of you who are on the mountaintop, but no matter where you are or in between, you know, coming to church, hearing a song about heaven like that, and singing a song about where the roses never fade, and realizing, folks, that because in my Savior I am blessed, happy and blessed, that's the end. That's where it ends. It doesn't end here. Glory to God. And if you don't know for sure that you're on the way to heaven, I'm glad you're here this morning. You can know for sure before you leave today. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart as we get into the message. You're in the book of Acts. Find that. You're getting used to your Bible, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Find the book of Acts. Find chapter 8. Find the book of Acts, chapter 8. I was thrilled to see the Smith boys come in this morning. Some of them, anyway. Good to see Jaden. Jaden's going into 10th grade. Is that right, Jaden? James down here going into 8th grade. And Justin back there going into 7th grade. And this Bill and Joyce Smith's youngest three boys. And they are going to camp with our teenagers. Amen? So I think they ought to give a prize out there, a reward for those that came the furthest. Amen? Because they came from College Station, Texas. Is that right, where y'all live now? Jaden, College Station, Texas. So, good to have them here this morning and going to camp with our young people. All right, let's stand together, please, in respect and honor of God's Word. And I'm going to shorten it up here for sake of time because I want to get to the message. I don't read all the verses I was going to read. Look with me at verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south. Let's just stop there. Now look down at verse number 29. 29 says, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. So I want to speak on go toward, then go near. Go toward, then go near. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful to be in service this morning. The assembly is gathered. I pray now that you'll please bless our time here. Anoint it, sanctify it as only you can. We give ourselves to you, a living sacrifice. We want to be well-pleasing to you. We give you our minds, our hearts, our thoughts this morning. May you help us to concentrate and hear the message from your word that you prepared for us today. Well, thank you for it. Use us, I pray, all of us, both speaker and listener, to enjoy whatever it is you have for us in this service. We'll thank you in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open here. We're going to look at several verses in this chapter. It was encouraging to return home from camp this past Thursday afternoon and hear of several good soul-winning opportunities for people in our church this past week. Several different people were able to have the gospel message and give it to people who thankfully were not only willing to listen, but then prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. And people, let me just say this. There are not many other things that will get your spiritual blood pumping like leading somebody to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that fall under the canopy of good works for a child of God. But, boy, I'm talking about leading somebody to Christ. It's just up there, okay? It'll get your spiritual blood pumping. In the course of preaching at camp, Brother John Booth and I, that was nice. I didn't have to close out this year. I preached Monday night and all day Wednesday. He preached Tuesday and Thursday. We stayed through Thursday morning. I took Colt and Chloe with us, my wife and I, because they're on vacation now. We're able to go next week, so they went this week. And we were able to get home Thursday afternoon. Brother Booth closed it out Thursday night. We had good services. We were privileged to see seven teenagers come to salvation through the week. So it's been a wonderful week of serving God, just a wonderful week. And I was thrilled to hear of what the Lord had done here while I was away. Now, here in Acts is one of the classic witnessing accounts that led to a salvation decision. Okay? This witnessing account given here led to a salvation decision. I want to talk about it this morning with you. Look at verse number 1. I want you to see here what the Bible says. And Saul was consenting unto his death. That's Stephen. Okay? And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Now, the people who followed Jesus Christ, look what the next statement says, and the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the people who were following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, were scattered abroad, and they were scattered abroad because of persecution that had come to the believers who lived in Jerusalem. Now, of course, this persecution was led by the man named Saul of Tarsus, who later got saved himself and eventually became the great Apostle Paul. That's who this is in verse number 1. Now, it was Jesus' original command that the gospel of Christ be taken everywhere. Everywhere. And Jesus didn't just say that once. In Matthew 28, he said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark chapter 16, he said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In Luke 24, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. In John chapter 20, As my Father hath sent me, so send, even so, send I you. In Acts chapter 1, he said, Ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, count it. 5 times, Jesus expressed his will, his desire for the gospel message, and that will, that desire, was to go everywhere. Everywhere. Now, you think about how many things that Jesus said or did here on earth are recorded in all 4 Gospels. And can I tell you this morning, there's not a lot of what Jesus said and did that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. If it's recorded in all four Gospels, that means it's recorded four times. Five times. Five times. We have it recorded where Jesus, this is the words of Christ Himself. Look it up in your Bible, those references I gave you. If you have a red-lettered Bible, the letters are in red. The words are in red. It doesn't mean that they're more important words than the ones in black. It just means they came from the lips of Jesus Christ. So five times from His lips, He expressed His desire. He expressed His will. He expressed His purpose for the gospel message. Take it everywhere. Take it to all people in all nations. And by the way, folks, this was not just sending missionaries. We're going to have a different thing this year because we're having a conference with Brother Hiltabiddle in October, a prophecy conference. We're not going to have a missions conference in September like we ordinarily would. We're going to have four special mission emphasis Sundays in a row from September 9th till the end of the month. Looking forward to it. And I'm all for missions. And that's what you see when you come in. Walk down our hallway in our foyer. All those boards are missionaries that our church is privileged to support. When Jesus gave the command to take the gospel to the world, He wasn't just saying, send missionaries. He was talking about a personal responsibility to be a witness to as many people, listen, in as many places as possible. That's what He's talking about here. The followers of Christ in Jerusalem in the early days had done a good job of witnessing in Jerusalem. They'd done an excellent job. Acts 5:28. The Bible says this, that they had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Now, Jerusalem was a major city. They filled it. Now, people, think about it. Can you imagine filling a city, an area, of teaching, with teaching and witnessing and preaching about Jesus Christ? Our church has been in existence for 49 years in the Kankakee Riverland area here. And I don't think we have filled our area with the gospel. I just don't think we have. You know, we filled a good portion of it, but I don't think we filled all of it. And the high priest said about these disciples, man, you've saturated Jerusalem with your teaching about Jesus Christ. But you know what the problem was, church? They were comfortable in Jerusalem. It was their home. So, God allowed the persecution to come, which kind of gave them a gentle shove, maybe not so gentle shove, to get out of Jerusalem, and, oh, by the way, as you flee the persecution, preach the gospel. And that's what they did. As they fled the persecution, the Bible says that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Peter, James, John, those apostles stayed in Jerusalem. The other Christians left, and as they left, they went preaching the gospel. That's what happens here in verse number in chapter 8. Philip makes it to Samaria. Look at verse number 5 in chapter 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So Philip made it to Samaria and he preaches about Jesus unto the people living there in the city of Samaria. Philip was preaching the gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let me say this morning, what a message it is. What is that message? Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And in His death, burial, and resurrection, He made all that heaven we've been singing about this morning. That's all made possible by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Good works never make that possible. Giving money never makes that possible. It's Christ and Christ alone, His death, His burial, His resurrection, which opened up the door to heaven. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's always been only one way to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message these disciples, these followers of Christ, took with them. And Philip made it to Samaria, and some unusual things happened there. And it got on, so to speak. I mean, revival-type atmosphere. And the church in Jerusalem heard about it, and they said, man. And they sent Peter and John down there to Samaria to check on what was going on with Philip and them. And so Peter and John show up, and they have some great things happen in the chapter. And then in the middle of all that's happening in Samaria, God says to Philip in verse number 26, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is, look at the next word, folks, desert. Now, that's odd. That's odd. That God would tell a man to leave a revival going on in a city with a huge population and go to the desert. What do you think the population was of the Gazan desert? It's unusual. You've got to admit. Well, why would God send Philip to the desert? You know why God sent Philip to the desert? To reach one man with the message of salvation. That's how important every person is to God. By the way, I think one of the things that touches my heart the most about the ministry of Jesus Christ, he gets in a boat, goes across the top of the sea, the north end of the Sea of Galilee, to Gadara, to reach one man. A man who was possessed with devils, cutting himself, living in the tombs, stripping naked. Jesus reached that one man, got in the boat, went back to where he came from. He went all through that to reach one man. Now you think about that. And here's one man in the desert. One man. Not 10, not 20, not 100,000. One man. And God takes Philip out of a citywide revival and sends him down to the Gazan desert to talk to one man. You talk about love. Oh, my friend. Listen, the greatest message you could hear this morning is that God loves you. And He loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die and be buried and rise again so that you could be saved. And God wants you to hear that message this morning. If you're not saved, He wants you to hear that message this morning. Now, let me talk about this man going down, some things involved here in Philip going down to the desert to speak to this one man who was traveling through the desert. Number one, I want you to think about this word. I want you to give you four words this morning. Think about the word obedience. Think about the word obedience. Look at verse number 27 with me. In verse 26, God says to Philip, arise and go toward the south. And then it says in verse 26, and he, that's Philip, arose and went. Well, now, wait a minute. Do you see anywhere between verse 26 and 27 where God gave Philip any reason as to why he was going to the desert? He just went. You know what that's called? Obedience. It's called obedience. Boy, we live in a day and age where people want to know why. Well, why? Well, why? Well, what for? Why? Folks, sometimes there is just merit in obeying the voice of God. Obeying God's word. Philip has no light. Philip has no reason. You're leaving the city to go to the desert. You know, look, we're not talking about modern conveniences like we know them today, but you have to believe that there are more conveniences in Samaria than there are in the desert. He's just told to go. And so Philip goes toward, and as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as followers of Christ and His Word and His will, people, we have a command to go. To go toward with the gospel message. And I want to say this morning, if you are physically able to get to someone, then you are expected to go with the gospel. Now, we can argue all day long about, well, what about this? And what about that? And what if this? And I think this. But the bottom line is, we are supposed to go prepared to witness for Christ. And we need to be obedient to do that. To not is to be disobedient. Now, look, you may not be physically able to go door-to-door witnessing, but you can always put a gospel tract in your pocket or in your purse and be ready to be obedient as you go to different places throughout your week. And I put some of these. I put the regular tracts. We got Brother Mick has designed a new tract for our church. I like it. It's a card. It's not a pamphlet. It's not a bifold or a trifold. It's a simple card. Glossy cardstock type stuff. And it just, you know, Faith Baptist Church and so forth. Our information in the back, a good plan of salvation fits right in you. I put some on the table back here. And what you ought to do, if you don't have any gospel tracts in your purse or your pocket, your car, you ought to take a few with you today. Now, they're not cheap. And if you're just going to put them in the car and use them to clean your windshield off, you know, don't do that, okay? Probably look in your car somewhere you got curled up tracks. you know, that have been sitting somewhere, but take some tracks with you. That's called being obedient, you know. I mean, maybe your hours at work make it difficult to attend one of our organized church soul winning visitation times, but folks, our long hours at work do not exempt us from being obedient. Amen. To witness. So I don't want to shirk my obligation. So I want to make sure I got some tracks. I want to make sure I got them in my pocket, got them in my purse, got somewhere, got them sitting in my desk or on my desk at work. If I'm a place where guys come in and talk to me, people come in and ask questions, here's a gospel track. And you never know when it might be right there, the moment that you can be a witness to somebody. It's called obedience. That's all it's called. It's called, you can do something for a neighbor. Maybe bake some cookies or some brownies or a cake and put a gospel tract with it. Then just say, look, I wanted to do this for you, and I want to give you an invitation to our church, and here's a little piece of paper that has some great Bible verses about how to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. There's a way to be obedient if you want to make obedience a priority. There's a way to do it. And it's part of God's will. And by the way, for those who do attend the soul-winning, you know, visitations at the church, you know, don't think that because you come for an hour and a half on Tuesday morning or Tuesday night, we're supposed to take the rest of the week off. It's supposed to be wherever we go. It's everywhere. Okay? Now, look, you can tighten up on me and sit there like a bullfrog in a hailstorm looking at me, but you're going to have a hard time denying what I'm saying this morning based on God's Word. It's obedience. It's obedience. That's what it is. It's obedience. You know, look, the percentage for me, if I take the percentage of times that I have gone out to witness for the purpose of witnessing, and then measure that versus the times I have been able to lead somebody to Christ, it's a small percentage. But listen carefully. For every time I've gone out, I've been 100% obedient. And there's a premium on obedience. The blessings of God are dependent upon obedience in many cases. So I remember years ago, I was over visiting in Moments, and I knocked on the door. It was a summer night, so the door was open, the screen door there. And I knocked on the door, and a lady and the man sitting on the couch there. And the man spoke up and said, "Come in." So I stepped in. And partner, I forget who was with me, we stepped in, you know, just started introducing ourselves. We're just out passing out literature. And I reached to hand them a tract. And the lady said to me, "I got one of those this week or last week." I said, "Where?" She said, "I was parked over at the car wash waiting to go through." It was a time when, you know, people were lined up there, two or three bays, like the super wash down here. And she said, "I was in line behind a couple cars, and I just was looking left and right, you know, and here was a girl in an automobile over to my right waiting to get her vehicle washed." And she said, "The next thing I knew, I looked back, and this girl's getting out of this vehicle and coming over, knocked on my glass, and handed me that very same paper." It thrilled my heart. It wasn't a soul-winning time. 10:03 Tuesday morning. Okay, it's time to go. 11:33 Tuesday morning. It's time to stop. It wasn't a soul-winning time. It was a soul-winning moment. She handed the lady a gospel tract. Thrilled my heart to think that a teenage girl would take that responsibility seriously. Blessed me. And I found out who it was later and thanked her for that. Thanked her for being nothing else. Thanked her for being an encouragement to her pastor. Much less being obedient to Jesus Christ. So I want you to see the word obedience. Philip, I want you to go toward the south. Okay, Lord. Yes, sir. He went obedient, not knowing why, not knowing for what reason, just go. Okay, now, the second word I want us to look at is the word opportunity. Opportunity. Look at verse number 27. "And he arose and went, and behold." Child of God, you know that's how it is. If you go and go often enough in obedience, you're going to have one of those. Behold. And what's he talking about? Look at it. "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all..." He was the secretary of the treasury under the queen of Ethiopia. "He had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning... sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." So watch it. Here's Philip. "Okay, Lord, you want me to go? God, Philip, go." "Okay, Lord, where?" "Go toward the south." "Okay." And so I'm just being obedient, and behold, here's an opportunity. It didn't take God by surprise. Amen? Might have taken Philip by surprise. But he didn't take God by surprise. So this guy's riding through the desert and he is reading a portion of the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, and the reason he was doing this, the Bible says he had gone on a journey to Jerusalem, listen, for to worship. That's unbelievable. For some reason, God, eternity, worship was on this man's mind, and he had gone to Jerusalem where everything was happening for Christ and to kind of scratch that itch. Now he had probably gone there and visited the temple complex. Maybe he had talked to some rabbis because Jerusalem was a religious place. But people, religion has never satisfied the heart of anyone looking for eternal answers. Never has. Never will. So get the picture. He goes to Jerusalem to find the answer. And he's returning from Jerusalem empty. Empty. Because when you go to religion to scratch that itch, that void that's in your heart, you're not going to find it in religion, ritual. It's in Jesus Christ. And so here this man is riding back to the desert. He's got these thoughts on his mind. This man was prepared for a witness. He was in a frame of mind to hear about Christ. Now, people, as we go witnessing, we have no idea who God has been working on. We have no idea who God has in a frame of mind, and the opportunity may be waiting for us to speak to that person. Do you know what going out is? It really is just going out in search of the person that God's been working on. That's what it is. And you find more people who are thinking nothing about God than you find those who are thinking about God. But once in a while, you find somebody whose heart God has prepared for a verbal witness. We have to be careful about having a negative mindset. Oh, no one wants to listen. No one will give me the time of day. You don't know that. Our mentality is so negative sometimes, it's like when someone is interested, our response is, really? You mean you really want to listen? You know, I've told this before. It's like you're thinking to yourself, you know, do you really understand what I want to talk to you about? You don't want to talk to me. Okay? I was a youth director in Iowa. I used to take the kids on activities, one big activity toward the end of the summer, usually an overnight activity. We'd go spend, you know, do some big things and before school started. So we were down in St. Louis. We'd gone to Six Flags Over Mid-America down there in St. Louis, Jana. Back in the day, I could ride every roller coaster. I did. I rode every roller coaster. Don't put me on the spinning things. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever see what happens to people who come off those spinning things? Uh-huh. Yeah. Roller coasters, we can do. My goodness. I loved them. But, you know, I mean, I'm not a teenager. I'm not old. I'm in late 20s, early 30s. And I've been there long enough. It's about 20 minutes for the activity to end. I'm going to go out and get the bus and pull it up and grab the kids, you know. So I think, you know, I'm going to go out and get ready to go out and get the bus. So I go outside and sit on the bench. And I'm just kind of taking a break. And here comes this teenage boy. He sits down at the other end of the bench. And, you know, how you doing? And I had some tracks on me. And so I just, you know, trying to be obedient. Said, hey, let me give you something to read. Tell you how to go to heaven someday. That was it. I've done my duty. I'm off duty now, Lord. Give it out. And I'm sitting on my peripheral. I see him reading. He's looking at it. Now he's reading it. And it's kind of like, hello? This boy's reading this thing? Hey, you going to speak up and say anything? Hey, hey! And so finally I said, hey, does that interest you? He said, yeah. I slid down, took the track, didn't have a New Testament on me. I was riding roller coasters. I'm not going to get my New Testament out in the middle of the hill going down saying, hey, let me show you a verse. So I didn't have a New Testament, but I took the track, had the gospel message on there. That teenage boy with people coming and going at Six Flags Over Mid-America bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. You got to watch your mindset. And it's just, God uses unusual things. to prepare the hearts of people. Some of you can testify to this morning. You've knocked on the door of somebody you had no idea who lived in that house. You'd never seen them before. They came to the door. You howdied a little bit, broke the ice, got into, give them the track, and just, hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been with the Bible called born again? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I was just thinking about that. Oh, really? My coworker was killed in an automobile accident. My brother died. Now, folks, it's not always morbid things that God uses to prepare the hearts of people. I don't want to go too long, but things come to mind. My last activity with the teenagers as youth director was to take them on a progressive supper. You all know what a progressive supper is? You start in one place and go to the other, you know. You have appetizers and salad, then a meal, then dessert, different place. But we did it restaurant style. And we went to Coralville, Iowa City, where there was a button. If we'd have gone in Washington, we'd have gone to Hardee's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. That'd have been it. But we went up to Iowa City, to Coralville, where they had a bunch of places. And our first stop was Long John Silver's. I told the kids, I said, look, this is appetizer, so we're going to go in and eat hush puppies. Well, you know, I'm not thinking. It's the Friday before Easter, whatever that is, toward the end of April. That was that year, in the middle of April. So fish, Easter, Christians, you know, Lent and all that stuff, you know. And they're inside Long John Silver's. They see a bus full of, you know, 30, 35 kids pull in. And, man, they start throwing fish in the cooker, and French fries in the cooker. They start throwing all that stuff in. We line up in a great big long line, single file. They bring people out from behind the counter, start taking orders. First kid says, I'd like a order of hush puppies and a Coke. Second kid, I'd like an order of hush puppies and a Sprite. Order of hush puppies and a... And I could see the manager. So the manager came out. I could see his face. Fourth person, order of hush puppies. Fifth person, order of hush puppies. I got his attention. I'm in the back of the line. I said, he came back there. I said, his name was Brian. I said, Brian, I didn't know his name at that time. His name was Brian. I said, did you throw a bunch of fish in the cooker? He said, yep. I said, how long will it last? He said, about 20 minutes. I said, man, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have called you. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I explained what we were doing. And he said, it sounds like fun. He said, don't worry about it. I was sick. You know, 36 orders of hush puppies. He's got fish and other. So we're sitting there eating our hush puppies, and he comes out. They come out with these plates of French fries. They just serve them to us. Just give them to us. You know, I don't know why he didn't give us the fish, but he just gave us the French fries, you know. So he gave us the French fries. So we're sitting there. So, you know, I apologize to him again. Now, fast forward. We're on Teenage Soul Winning Visitation about a month later. We're down in Hills, Iowa, that thriving metropolis of Hills, Iowa. How many people in the Hills? 10? I don't know how many, you know, but there's a little apartment complex there. We're knocking doors, and the teenagers are odd, and Ben is with me. He's a little kid. He was probably, He was second grade when we moved here. He's a little second grade boy, you know, first grade boy going into second grade. He's with me, and I knock on the door, and guess who answers? The manager from Long John Silver's. I said, Brian, you remember me? He said, I'll never forget you, man. So I told him what we were doing. We sat down. He said, yeah, I'd love to hear this. And I remember Ben sat in one of those wicker, had a wicker base and a wicker bowl. You know what I'm saying? And a second grade kid in one of those is disaster. And I'm going through the plan of salvation with this guy and get right down to the end where I'm going to, you know, invite him to trust Christ as his Savior. Hey, would you like to invite Jesus Christ? I look over there and Ben is upside down. The bowl's on top of his head. I mean, it's just... It's disaster. And somehow we got through all of that. The devil was in him, I guess. I don't know. We got through all of that. That guy trusted Christ as a Savior. I just go toward. And then, you know what? You're going to have the opportunity to go near. Go near. Obedience leads to opportunity. And the reason some folks never have an opportunity is because not being mindful of being obedient. And by the way, folks, I could go, look, I'm talking about this lady over here with two of her children are here this morning. She got saved, and the children got baptized and saved because Linnea invited them to church. A co-worker. I see Jerry Williams sitting out here. Every now and again, Mike and Helen Vittick pop in from Georgia, sit right back there. Jerry won Mike to the Lord years ago. It's doable. It's doable. Not everybody's going to read the tract that you give them to, but you have to go toward with the mindset of being obedient to Christ. If it's not at soul-winning time, soul-winning time is all the time. So it's not so, you know, you've got a mindset of being obedient to Christ, and you'll be surprised at the opportunities that come your way. All right? So you got obedience, you got opportunity. Here's the third word you got is the word objective. Objective. Now look at verse number 35. It won't be long on this, okay? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So what did Philip do? Immediately, he seized the opportunity and he went to his objective. What does the word objective mean? It means something that one's efforts or actions are intended to accomplish. It's a goal. It's a purpose. Philip's objective was not to talk to the man about the weather. They're in the desert. When do you think it's going to rain? Well, I don't know. Maybe in 6 months. It is warm. But, you know, it wasn't about employment. It wasn't about family, politics. It wasn't even about religion. Now look, those things may help us break the ice, but Philip's objective, his goal, was to speak to the person about Jesus Christ. And Philip was aided by the fact that the man was reading a portion of the Scripture. So immediately, Philip took the man to the subject of Jesus Christ. Now folks, if we're going to obey and we get an opportunity, we need to get to the objective. Now listen. When you're talking to someone about Christ, stick to the objective of getting them the story of the gospel. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Some question's going to come up about something that will lead you off the path if you let it. I was out by the north of St. Anne. Dennis, I know you're visiting in St. Anne and seeing some results there in the bus ministry. And I was visiting outside north of St. Anne. There's a street, just one street down there, off to the west of Highway 1, just a bunch of houses on that street. And I just was door knocking, I forget who was with me, those houses. And we were talking to this young adult lady, like in her late teens, early 20s. And she was listening. She was interested in salvation. We started through it. And right in the middle of it, she said, "Can I ask you a question?" And it was a bizarre, off-the-wall question that had nothing to do with salvation. Now, I don't remember what it was, but I remember this. I said to her, "You know what? Let me get to that later. Let me finish this. Could I finish this while my mind is on it? We'll get to that later." "Oh, sure." We got to the plan of salvation. She trusted Christ as her Savior. She never brought up that other question. You stick to the objective. The objective, listen, the objective is not to argue with them about how a Christian is supposed to live. The objective is not to state your position on the King James Bible. That's not the objective. Folks, listen. I love this book. This book is God's Word, every bit of it, okay? But listen, salvation is not in this book. Salvation's message is in this book. Salvation is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what it says. You can argue with people about all kinds of things and miss your objective. Oh, time's up, I got to go, sorry. And you're arguing about something off the wall, and that person was listening. Get to the point. Amen? Get to the point, okay? There's no sense arguing or debating about something not pertaining to... I'm done. Number four, here's the last word, and this is important. Order. Order. Obedience, opportunity, objective, and order. Look at verse 36. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" Whoa. See, this guy's real interested in getting religious all of a sudden. "Here's water. I can be baptized." Maybe he saw somebody getting baptized in Jerusalem. Look what Philip said. And Philip said, wait a minute. "We can't get the cart before the horse. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And that was a reference to, do you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for your salvation? And the man said, I believe. Look what he said in verse 39. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In that statement, he was saying, yes, I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for my salvation. You see here, this is very important. People talk to you about, oh yeah, I was baptized. Oh yeah, I'm a church member. Oh yeah, I did this. That's out of order. You don't get baptized to get saved. You don't join a church to get saved. You get saved first. First. People get very interested when difficult times come about getting religious. A lot of times it's tough. We get to get to church. We've got to get us a Bible. We've got to join. I'm for all of that. But if that's your plan on getting to heaven someday, you're getting the cart before the horse. The horse, excuse me, the first part of it, the horse, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you get saved. And then you get baptized. And then you join a church. And then you do right. You get trust in Christ is first. Now, obedience, opportunity, objective, and order. I'm not going to do this. I'm not doing this on purpose because I don't want to hurt anybody. That's not my intention. But if I asked everyone who has had the privilege of leading someone to Christ to stand, would you be able to stand? I'm not going to do that. But just think about it. And don't think about it like this. Oh man, I failed. I'm horrible. Oh. You can't change the past. But you still have time to do something about the future. So forget about it. But I've been this long. I'm not asking for that question, for that reason. I'm asking the question to get you to think about it and then decide, you know what? I can't change the past, but I still have some time to see about that happen in the future. And here's what you need to do, church. If you want to see this happen, you go toward in obedience. You go toward work. You go toward the bank. You go toward the hardware store. You go toward your week. You go toward your day, thinking about it, prepared. And then when the opportunity arises, you go near. Can I talk to you about Christ? And if they listen, get to the objective of salvation. And don't let them get the cart before the horse. And see God use you to lead somebody to Christ. And I'll promise you, your spiritual blood pressure wow! It's wonderful. Go toward. It's a mindset. I've got to be at the church. You don't have to be at the church. God knows where you work. God knows how you get to work. God knows who you come into contact with. Just go toward people with the mindset. Not multitudes, one. With the mindset of being a witness and then go near and be a gospel witness. You'll be so thankful. You'll be so grateful that God used you. I told the story about Jim down here in Julia. A few weeks ago, Jim got a friend of his on his mind. Jim right down here, the deaf man. And he called the friend and witnessed to him on the phone by way of Skype so they could see each other. He's signing. He's talking to Jana. Jana, what do I say? And that man trusts Christ as a Savior. Jim is telling me about it down here on a Sunday morning, telling me the story. When he got home from church, he found out that while he was telling me the story, that man died. That man died. After being saved a few days, and Jim is down here telling me, while he's telling me the story, that man, he gets home, got a phone call or something, message, and that man died. Whew. Wow. Man, go toward and go near. Just be obedient. Look for God will give you the opportunity. Just be obedient. Get to your objective. Get the right order and see God use you. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Now, Listen carefully. Please don't tune me out with your head bowed and your eyes closed. This is just personal time, okay? This is why we bow heads and close eyes. It's just personal. So who would say, Pastor, my heart's beating. I know this is right. Man, I need to be more mindset about this matter than I am of going toward in obedience. I need to be. So now my heart's beating. I just know this is what God wants me to do. Pray for me. I got touched by God this morning. My heart got touched. So pray for me. Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? I see your hands. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Appreciate that. Now let me ask this question, and this is probably more important than the other right now. And here's the question. Are you saved? You heard a message this morning about witnessing to others and seeing them saved. Are you saved? Have you had the horse before the cart? Has there ever been a time in your life where you were born into God's family? Are you saved? If not, it's no accident that you're here this morning. You're in a place where you can hear the gospel message. You've heard it. Christ died, was buried, and rose again for your salvation. Now, just in, so I can close this service in a word of prayer, just so I can ask God honestly, if you're not sure that you're saved, I don't know your name, don't know who you are, maybe I do, doesn't matter. This is personal. This is just for prayer purposes. Pastor, I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you slip your hand in the air if that's you this morning? I do not know that I'm saved. Anybody like that here today from side to side, front to back? I'm not sure I'm saved. Not sure I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Anybody like that today? I want to pray for you. If you're here today, you've been saved, never baptized. I see that we already had some folks come to prepare for baptism. You can join them if you've never been baptized and you've been saved. Let one of these fellows know. And if you've talked to us about joining the church and you know that's God's will for your life, or you want to talk to us about it, you can come. If you raise the hand saying, boy, God spoke to me. Look, turn your pew into an altar, or if physically able to kneel or stand, come to an altar while your heart is tender, while God is speaking to you, and say, Lord, please use me. I want to be obedient. I want to get a mindset of being a witness. And you spoke to me about it this morning. Just be honest with God about it at the invitation time. Father, speak to our hearts as only you can. May you accomplish your will and your purpose for this message in our hearts right now and in the days to come. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. If you're not sure you're saved, now's a wonderful time to come right down here and tell one of these men, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know I'm saved. Come while you can. Did God speak to your heart this morning? Many, many hands went up. Respond while your heart's tender, while you know God's working, while you know God's moving. Don't be afraid to step out. And if you have a hard time kneeling, you can stand. It'd be better to come if you can than to make an altar at your seat. But while we wait today, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God, I want you to help me. I want you to help me with a mindset of witnessing. A mindset. There's somebody that I can go near if I'll just go toward. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And man, if you're not saved, I would invite you to come this morning and find out how you can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Be saved. On your way to heaven.